So welcome to our Good Friday service for this year. And my hope for you that during this evening service is that you see this day as a cause for remembrance as well as a cause for celebration. And even though Friday was a rough day for Jesus and for his family and for the disciples, for us, this day stands as a reminder of the price that Jesus paid for me and the price that he paid for you. So guess what? That we could have access to him forever. And I don't know if you know this, forever is a long time. And I can't think of a better person outside of my wife, maybe. I can't think of a better person than I would rather spend a long time with than my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So this past week is known as Passion Week. And for most Christians, it's always one of the most special times of the year. And each day of Passion Week, beginning with this past Sunday, Palm Sunday, it reminds us of events that took place during Jesus' day, during his life. And those events remind us of what led up to his death, his burial, and his resurrection. In fact, Easter is a time for us to proclaim the cross of Christ and to celebrate the fact that he is resurrected. To celebrate the fact. As a matter of fact, it's the best time of year, the easiest time of year for us to tell others that Jesus is alive. Matter of fact, most people, whether they're churched or unchurched, expect it at Easter to be told or to hear that Jesus is alive. So I want to start by... Many of you probably have seen this, but I want to show this little video. It's called It's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross. Feeling for forsaken by his father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Amen. And you say, well, why would you show us that? The repetitive nature of that. Because yeah, today might seem gloomy. And even on that day, all those years ago, it was sad and very gloomy. But we know what's coming. And on Sunday is a day to really, really celebrate. Because our King, our Savior, is alive. Now, I've always been interested in the events that led up to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Now, when we study those events, we know that Jesus knew. But if you think back to Palm Sunday, one of the important things to remember about this day is that it happened as fulfillment of the prophecy that is found in Zechariah 9. Jesus was in fact to them, Jesus is in fact to us, the King that has always been promised. And he was deserving on that day of the shouts of Hosanna. You remember he went to the city and they were shouting and crying out, Hosanna. And even though he knew that those shouts in a few days, those shouts of joy would be turned to ones of hatred and deception, he went anyway. He went anyway. And the next day, on Monday, as Jesus and a few disciples entered Jerusalem, if you guys know the story, he used a barren fig tree as a teaching moment. And in that moment, Jesus taught the disciples, as well as us today, about the importance of remaining strong in our faith. We live in a world, folks, where we have to remain strong in our faith. Jesus teaches that our unwavering trust and confidence in him will lead to earthly moments where God's power is manifest in our lives. And it was also on this day, on Monday, when Jesus gave us an example of how we are to view our time of worship. You remember this moment of Jesus clearing out the courtyard of the temple? Now, that story has been used for many a message by many a pastors to speak about Jesus getting angry and how his reaction in that moment was warranted, right? Well, while there's nothing wrong with that approach, I want to point out that the message in that moment was really about worship. And if we allow any practice whatsoever to interfere with our worship, then we've got to put a stop to it. We've got to put a stop to it. Now, on Tuesday, Jesus faced even more scrutiny and more opposition. Even an ambush from the religious leaders of the temple. You see, they were upset with him because of the previous day. They didn't like the fact that he cleaned the temple and cleared it out. So, of course, they were upset with him from that previous day's events. But they were more upset with him because he established himself as the true spiritual authority in their temple. It's safe to say that Jesus knew what he was facing and what was coming soon and very soon. Tuesday is also the day where Jesus traveled to the Mount of Olives. And using his usual method of teaching in parables, he delivered a detailed message that was filled with all this symbolic language and meanings. But in that sermon or in that message, guess what he was talking about? The end of days, the end of times. But he also talked about one of the reasons that we celebrate Easter. Yes, he's alive. But because he's alive, guess what? He's coming back again, another time, to take us home. So he promised from the Mount of Olives on Tuesday that he would return. And while all these things were going on, the disciples are sitting around and Jesus is teaching, he's delivering that. There's this little guy named Judas, one of the group. You see, Judas, during that moment, he thought it was a promising idea to turn his back on Jesus. So it was on this day that Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. The Bible says that from that moment forward, Judas sought out his opportunity to betray Jesus. So Tuesday, in Passion Week, was a very exhausting day for Jesus. And as a result, many of the scholars we study suggest that Jesus and the disciples spent the rest of Tuesday evening and all of Wednesday and into Thursday morning resting and in fellowship with friends and family at Bethany. Perhaps knowing what he was about to face and knowing the level of stress that was coming for the disciples and his friends and family, perhaps Jesus knew in that moment that a season of rest was much needed. And when I think of that, and I think of Tuesday evening and the Wednesday morning, and all day Wednesday and into Thursday morning, it reminds me of Jesus' words that we find in Matthew 11. And you'll know this. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Aren't you glad that knowing what he knew, Jesus went anyway? I'm going to play another song. Just worship, listen to the song. Just let Jesus speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this moment, in this place.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey!
I love that line in there that says, with every breath, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. When I hear that line, it makes me think of every breath that Jesus took on the cross. And it was because of his goodness that he did that for me, that he did that for me. Thursday, in the day of our Lord, was a very eventful day for him and his followers. Thursday is the day that things really began to turn. And Jesus knew without a doubt that the time had come. And he sent Peter and John ahead to the upper room in Jerusalem to make preparations for the Passover feast. And just after sunset, Jesus washed the feet. Of his disciples. As they prepared with each other to share in the Passover meal. And Jesus' humble act of service demonstrated by example, how we, believers, are to love one another. We're to serve one another. And it was then that Jesus shared the feast of the Passover with his disciples. And this is what he said, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." We're going to partake in the Lord's Supper this afternoon. But I want you to know the real one is coming. The real one is coming. As the Lamb of God, Jesus was about to fulfill the meaning of Passover by giving his body to be broken and his blood to be shed in sacrifice. And in doing so, it frees us from sin and from death. And during this meal, Jesus is last with his family, his disciples. He established for us the Lord's Supper, and he instructed us as his followers to continually remember his sacrifice by sharing in the elements of the bread and the wine. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 through 29, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So I invite you to prepare your heart for this evening's Lord's Supper. I invite you to listen to the words of these songs as they play, and as your heart becomes ready to receive this evening's elements, I'll ask you to come forward, take your bread, take your cup, and return to your seat. In this time, in these two songs as they play, prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper.
Hear the voice of love's call as a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything you're going through. Standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame, there's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? Can't see the weight you carry, and the fear that haunts your heart. And through the cross you've been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. Bring it all to the table. nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin and all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls, and bring it all to the table. Bring it all to the table.
I can't, I give it in.
1 Peter 2:24 helps us understand the bread of the Lord's Supper. It reads, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Jesus on that Thursday evening had dinner with his disciples. And he said, as we already talked about, that he earnestly desired to eat this Passover with them before he went to suffer. And he said he would not do it again until it had been fulfilled in his kingdom. And he went on and he said he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he asked them to take that cup and divide it among themselves. And he says, "For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Folks, that's what we're waiting on. That's what we're waiting on. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that several thousand years ago on this day, Jesus went to the cross in my place. So God, as we participate in the Lord's Supper, may we never forget the price that was paid for my hope, for my eternity. So Father, we love you and we thank you for that. Amen. And he, Jesus, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, Jesus said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." It was shortly after this meal, after this time together, that Jesus and the disciples returned to the Mount of Olives and for him to the Garden of Gethsemane for the purpose of prayer. Luke's gospel shares with us an intimate detail about Jesus during this time. Luke shares that Jesus, or Luke shares this about Jesus. He says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Folks, we will never comprehend the things Jesus went through physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually as he went to the cross and the grave in our place. And now we come to Good Friday. Good Friday, I never understood why we call it Good Friday. Because for him, it was such a bad day. But now, as I'm older, I understand why it's called Good Friday. The most difficult day of Jesus' days become our most promising and our most hope-filled. Christ's journey turned treacherous and extremely painful in the final hours that led to his death. The Bible says that before the third hour, which is about 9 a.m., on this day, Good Friday, this morning, Jesus endured the shame of false accusations, condemnation, mockery, beatings, and abandonment. And after multiple unlawful trials, he was sentenced to death by means of crucifixion on the cross. And as Christ was led away, soldiers spit on him. And they tormented him, and they mocked him, and they pierced him with a crown of thorns. And if this wasn't enough, They even forced him to carry his own cross to Golgotha, the hill of skulls, up to the place we call Calvary, where again he was mocked and insulted as Roman soldiers nailed him to the cross and waited for his eventual death. And in that moment, Jesus spoke final statements, seven of them, from the cross. The first one, his first words was what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then his last words were, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then about the ninth hour, which would have been about 3 p.m., my Savior, my Lord, breathed his last breath, and he died.
Last and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a wretch as I? Thus might I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears. 'Tis of my heart in thankfulness, and melt mine eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
On Good Friday, we remember the day Jesus willingly suffered and died as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And now, folks, we wait, just like the disciples did, for what comes next. We wait for the opportunity to celebrate and shout praises on Sunday morning about our risen King, about our risen Savior. We wait so that we can shout to the world that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Good Friday, as terrible as that day was, as terrible as that day may seem, had to happen so that we would receive the joy of Easter morning. The wrath of God against sin had to be poured out on Jesus, the perfect sacrificial substitute for forgiveness and salvation to be poured out to all people. Without that awful day of suffering, sorrow, and shed blood on the cross, God could not be both just and justifier. He could not be just and justifier for those who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And on a day that seemed to be the greatest triumph of evil, God gloriously redeemed the world from bondage and fulfilled yet another of his great promises. Folks, our King, our Savior, our Lord is alive. And I know that you probably did not come to this Good Friday service expecting what you got. But God instructed us to never forget the broken body and the blood that was shed for you and me. And I get emotional on this day. Not because of the suffering and all that stuff, but I can't stop thinking that he did it for me. But oh, when Sunday gets here, these tears of sadness turn to tears of joy. Because man, there'll be a day when the living King will come take me home forever. And I don't know if you heard me say that earlier. Forever is a long time. But I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm going to ask you to stand. We've chosen two songs. I want to ask you to worship King Jesus as we leave tonight. Isn't that a great song?
Yes.
It's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
Yes.
Sunday's coming. I want you to spend the rest of this evening and tomorrow remembering that your hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He's alive.
Amen.
He's alive. I love the line in there. It says, stop holding on what? To the grave. Stop holding on to the grave. Ain't no need to hold on to stuff like that. Jesus is alive, and we have to believe that. We have to trust that. We have to know that. Man, I can't wait for Sunday morning. If you're up here and you're awake, come to the sunrise service at 7 a.m. at the state park. I've had a lot of people say, they're going to cancel it if it rains. You know, last year it was supposed to rain, and the sun come out, and two people got baptized on an Easter Sunday morning at the park. 7 a.m. Sunday morning. If it does rain, guess what? We'll move it to the barn. But it'll still happen, 7 a.m. So I invite you to do that. I invite you then, if you don't have anywhere else to go, and if you're not planning on coming here, be here at 10:30. And guess what? We're going to celebrate Sunday. We're going to celebrate Easter in a mighty way, in a good way. Because guess what? That's what it's really supposed to be about. That's what it's really supposed to be about. Let me pray for you, and we'll go home. You can stay if you want to. But let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we love you because you made a way. You made a way to pay for me. And I am glad you're so good. I'm glad that you love me the way you do. I'm glad that you love me enough to send your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross and to go to a grave on my behalf. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Father, that you raised my Savior from the dead for a reason. So thank you, God, that he's going to come back one day and take me home forever and ever. Father, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you. And we pray all these things tonight in your mighty and holy name. Amen.